Church, praise the Lord. Sir, some time ago I was discussing with my uncle, who is a lecturer and a bishop in Port. And he asked me a series of questions. He says, why are you people fasting?
Why
are you people fasting? He asked me. He says, what is the essence of fasting?
Fasting.
Yes.
Yes.
And I answered him that I fast. I don't know for others, but I fast in order to get me closer to God and to help me do away with some fleshly desires. He said, okay, fine. Then I asked again, what time do you fast? I said, well, it all depends. From 6 to the time my spirit could carry me. See, he asked me what particular time of 6 I'm talking about. I said from 6 a.m. He said that is wrong. That fasting, if you want to fast for a day or for a particular time, that the 6 is from 6 p.m. the previous day till the next day when you want to break it. That is where the Bible counted it. So he now asked me to, he quoted a Bible, I can't remember, but the reference was made to when Jesus died and how he was buried, the time he was buried. He said that he was quickly rushed because it was Sabbath time, before 6, that was when he was buried. So that from that 6 p.m., till the following day and the other day and the other day, making it the 3 days he was.
So what's your question?
My question is, sir,
whether he is correct.
Yes, sir. Because it got to a point I became confused. I said, okay, I'm going to ask my pastor.
He's a lecturer. He's a lecturer.
Yes, sir, that's why I believe he knows better than myself. I said
he's a lecturer.
Him.
Is he in the school of theology? Or what? What does he lecture in?
He read CRK and Guidance and Counseling.
Now tell him that he's a professor of theology. And that he is going to an area that he knows nothing about. So next time when he's talking to you, give him my phone number. Call me. Let me answer him. Because fasting did not start with the death of Jesus. So why is he making reference to the time of the death of Jesus? Fasting was long on. When David fasted in the matter between him and Bathsheba, was Jesus on the cross? Well, who told him what time to start and what time to end? So he knows not. He's not trying to confuse you. He's trying to end. In fact, he's not even a good lecturer. I'm sure his students will be dunce. Because he won't teach them anything. How can somebody who says he's a lecturer, it's expected that his reasoning faculty should be a little higher than the students. And he's reasoning like that. Fasting is between you and God. No time is given.
Of course.
The only thing we see in the Bible is how you should fast. Not when you should fast. And how you should comport yourself when fasting.
What he actually made mention is that the way people fast is wrong because at a time of fasting, he asks the food you refuse to eat. What do you do to eat?
If I don't have anything to eat, you call.
I told him I don't cook anyway. He said that is wrong. That food, the Bible said it should invite the poor and feed them. You should afflict comfort the soul that are afflicted. And those that are mourning, you should, you know, encourage them.
Tell him, you should have told him that we have gone beyond that. In grace now, it is not only during fasting we do it. Even without fasting, we are to take care of all the needy people. So grace has gone beyond that. It has gone now, both fasting and not fasting. We are to help the needy around us.
Thank
I say, direct him to me. I will answer
all
him.
All right, sir. We...
God bless you.
Online.
Praise the Lord. What's he saying? He says, praise the Lord. My questions are, one, When a Christian constantly speaks and sings in tongues in dreams, but physically does not speak it, and also in dreams, always see himself praying for people, does it mean that he has a calling to be answered later? When a pastor speaks in tongue always, yet no one in his church has been able to receive the Holy Ghost, and no signs and wonders has ever happened through him, is he a real man of God? Praise the Lord. Your first question is, you see a lot of manifestations in the dream? Yes. Before anything you see physical takes place, it is first settled in the spirit. Amen. Well, some may not see it, but if it is going to be a serious one, a serious ministry, a serious assignment, you will see it one way or the other, either in your dream or people will be prophesying it to you. So, in the spirit, yes, you speak in tongue, you sing in tongue, in the spirit, be in expectation for one of these days it will burst out there. You will remember this is that which I usually see in the dream, and then you will flow easily. Now, your question is a little bit dicey. Now, the fact that a pastor speaks in tongue does not mean that other people around him too will receive the Holy Ghost. In Acts chapter 10, when Peter went to the house of Cornelius, it was not tongue he was speaking there. He was telling them, the house of Cornelius, about the Lord Jesus Christ. And while he yet spake the word of God, the Holy Ghost came down. Now, I am here. I don't speak in tongues. I desire it, but God didn't give me. I don't speak in tongues, but so many people, thousands, have received the Holy Ghost under my ministration. All around the world. Praise the Lord. So the only thing is, that pastor may have the gift of speaking in tongues. And he is standing and mesmerizing the people, and then he's busy. Your watch is rattling in tongue, and there's no interpretation. He is breaking scriptures. The Bible in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 says, if there is no interpretation, let that person keep silence and go and speak to himself in his closet. So that is the mistake he is making. What will make you receive the Holy Ghost is you receive the Holy Ghost in three ways. Like I said, while Peter here spake, all I will see in Acts chapter 8, they came to Samaria and laid hands on the people. Acts chapter 19, also Paul laid hands on them. Or Luke chapter 11 verse 13, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost to them that ask? So you can, by prayer, asking, receive the Holy Ghost. Not by speaking in tongue. He's only operating a gift. God bless you. Someone, Sister Mariet from Italy. Church, praise the Lord. Please, sir, what could make somebody who was hit by the Holy Ghost for the first time to fall back to the vomit too soon? I am very happy to testify that God spoke to me and delivered me from the arrow of the enemy through Pastor Moses during our 3 days Jubilee program here in Italy. That's a testimony. Praise the Lord. Now, this question, Mariette, that's her name, is asking, me too, I have asked that question, but one day God gave me the answer. I discovered that people will come under anointing. They will fall down under anointing, men and women. But after that, when they leave that anointing, go out. Some of them go back and paint their face and palm their hair, the sisters. And some of them live here. And in fact, some one or two of them we discover before marriage, then get belly. Because we normally wait till the last week. Then we will go to our clinic for pregnancy tests. We catch like that. We catch some. And they were falling under anointing. Some of them like this. You will see them every time. They fall down. Some then they change them. Some, you know. So I used to say, and then observe. The mystery is too deep. I could not understand. Until one day. When the thing happened, I jump up. We were sitting with my wife. When the thing struck me, I jump up from my dining table. I shouted at my wife. I say, a mystery has just been given to me now. The scripture in Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open to me, I will come in and sup with him. When the Holy Ghost is coming to you, he comes by way of manifestation. All that time that is taking you and hitting you down is knocking at the door. Open your heart, I want to come in. Open your heart, I want to come in. You will battle today, you stand up. He didn't come in. But everybody thought you received the Holy Ghost. There was vibration, there was this, there was that. But you didn't open your heart. Some will run. No, leave me. Continue to go chase the rich car park. Drag them, come back. Some, they go chain them. Amen. You will hear some say, leave me. No, leave me. No. The Holy Ghost will say, open for me now. Open for me. So, people who are not revelated, now a pastor that see them fall under anointing like that, will now say, yeah, they have received. Yes, it's the Holy Ghost dealing with you, but whether you receive or not, by their fruit, we shall know them. That is why it looks as if he has gone back to their vomit. Because, amen, they were not converted. Simple. Yes. I hope I've answered that, sister. Yes.
Shalom, church.
God bless you.
To talk about the woman plaiting her hair. Yes. What about the woman is cutting her hair?
No, it's wrong. It's still the same thing. What is the motive? I saw a young girl that cut her hair very low. And I asked her, why did you do that? He said she discovered that she had used chemical and spoiled her hair. And now she's repenting from going to salon. So she wants her natural hair to come up. So she crept all that Asmodee on. That devilish one that was there. So, will you say she has committed sin? No. The motive is what God will judge. That if because you want to look like one Nollywood actress, one musician somewhere, or you want to look like your junior brother, your senior brother, and then you go and say, bump me like this, cut this one. Of course, you are not a believer anyway. You are not a believer.
So what about if you don't want to play the hair, but you will be cutting it?
No, a woman must leave her hair to grow long. Okay. God gave you that hair, it's part of your beauty. If not, you will be ugly. Ugly. Any woman that cut her hair, if you watch, they are always covering it if they are virtuous women. Because you will look like man. As you know, you look like man. And let no single sister do that. No man will come near you. But every man loves a woman with long hair. Am I correct? Put down your hand. Is there any man here that loves a woman with low cut? You like woman with low cut? Stand up, sir. Why, sir?
Praise God.
Sorry, sir. Does your wife do low cut?
Not low cut, really. But
I'm talking of low cut.
Look, sir.
I'm talking of low cut.
The shaving is not as the same as low cut, sir.
Sir, you are talking another thing.
Yes, sir.
If you didn't understand me, I want you to understand me now.
I understand, sir.
I said, does your wife do low cut?
Yes, my wife do cut the hair.
Like this?
No.
The one at the back. Him. Behind you here. Him.
Yes. Like the other man.
She cuts it like this.
Yes, sir.
Eh?
Yes, sir.
And you love her like that.
Because she cannot be there. Anyway, it's white like my own. And
how old is she, sir?
She's about 60.
Praise the Lord.
No, don't.
Anyway, she has expired. So anything she does now will not attract anything anywhere. It may be that the hair is always scratching her. There's one age you reach, everything the hair, the scratches. She has expired. I'm talking about those who have not expired. Don't do that. Ifeiwa from Swaziland. Shalom, church. Please, pastor. If my husband doesn't believe in the end time message and is forcing me to put on weavons, trousers, etc., which I have done away with, pastor, what should I do? Secondly, can I stay in the house as an online member since there are no end time message churches here in Swaziland? Of course. Listen, your first question. You are married to an unbeliever. And so the way you will approach this issue will be different from people who are married to believers. You are not married to a Christian. Or the man may not be of your faith. Maybe he's Catholic. Maybe he's Christ Embassy. Maybe he's Redeemed. Or maybe it's Winners. Or Trem. Who again? But if he were choosing, or Deeper Life, Watchman, or goes to holiness believing churches like the ones I have mentioned, certainly, he won't tell you to dress like prostitutes. So what you do is what I've told everybody. I don't know how you married him, or I don't know where you believe the entire message. But if it is after your marriage that you believe the entire message, or rather, before I come to, maybe you were already in the entire message before you went to marry him, then you are paying, you are reaping what you have sown. Because it's expected that you will marry a man that will have of like faith. Secondly, or if you were already married to him before you saw the light, then there is something Peter told women, 1 Peter chapter 3, on you that married the unbelieving husband. He said, by the life that you live, by the character that you show, you will win him to the Lord. No man will like to take what he called disobedience from his wife because of a newfound faith. He will interpret it to be disobedience and you will hate your faith. And so you have to keep up with him and prayerfully present him to prayer regularly in fasting, secret prayers. God will give you wisdom to deal with it as a matter of time. It's a matter of time. You will understand. I always remember that the way you relate with your husband is also, God also will relate with you. If you are sincerely converted, God will step into the matter. And before you know what, that man will either get converted or leave you to be the way you want to are. You want to be. Praise God. I think I've answered the second question. The two questions. Okay, enter message in Swaziland. Whether you, since there is none. Well, I've always believed that half bread is better than none. There's something revelation does to us. You are listening to me around the world. I don't encourage people to sit at home. You must have fellowship. And fellowship is where two or three are gathered. And you don't have a third person, a second person, a third person you can fellowship with in your area. I always advise, there's a lot of advantage in being part of fellowship. The nearest church to what you believe, attend it. The nearest church, the nearest to what the church with the nearest faith, your faith, nearest to what you believe, attend it. And when they are doing unscriptural things there, of course you don't join them to do it. But join them and have brethren, fellowship. Until the day you will get to meet others, then you start where two or three are gathered. I used to tell people that this church is not a breakaway from another ministry. And that this church was not established by some big pastor somewhere that I was working under. What I am doing to ministers who have left this place, nobody did it to me. We are paying for place of worship for people. We pay for place of worship for Pastor Thomas. We pay for the house he will live. We bought instruments at Alaba Market to that place. And then we are giving him allowance plus his children's scholarship from here. And then we again using our television to advertise his church. And we travel there at our own expenses to go there and hold program to attract people to that church. Nobody did it for me. This church started with four people inside my office. Four in a backyard, so we have no signboard. No name of ministry. Until we are over 100 and something people before we decided, Bill, I said, our church, they come soon. And so when people come to me and want to make it look as if they're having problems starting ministry, I have myself, for example. It means nothing to me. Church is not a business that you sit down and begin to put budgets. What we have is the word. And where the carcass is, that the eagle will gather. It's not the building. It's not all the things we see around. If you have the word, people will come. If you have the grace, people will come. If you have the calling, the people will come. Where there is sugar, ant will locate it. Praise the Lord. So, but for now, you are not to sit at home. Amen. Look for a place to worship. Thank you. God bless you. Yes.
Shalom, sir. In Matthew 12, from verse 25, it says, "And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to dissolution, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand?" So my question this is this, sir. There is a mystery I want to understand in this verse, because I saw something online. A former pastor was confessing that he used juju to be doing his ministry. And he goes for family liberation and destroys charm, and nothing happens to him. But a particular one he went, the charm began to fight him. And that was when he now repented and started confessing. So my question is it that it was God that permitted those other chance from not fighting, since he was not even using the genuine power to do those things?
Can I also, I don't know how old you are, whether you understand what I want to say. You may be too young to go to Babalawo. Do you know that there are native doctors that if another native doctor attack you, they can deliver you? Eh? And nothing will happen to them. So what is the problem? Why are you surprised? Now you are now saying whether you already said he was doing ministry with charm. Therefore, he was not a Christian. He was not using the power of the Holy Ghost. I mean, you were going with a lesser one and he charmed the one that a higher one does. So naturally now, you know, he will bow. We go with the highest of all powers. At the mention of the name of Jesus, every knee bows. Praise the Lord. The best power you can have, the highest power, is to receive the power of the Holy Ghost. People don't know who we are. Praise the Lord. The power we have, heaven and earth adore him. Even angels bow before. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. Amen, amen. Blessings and glory and glory. Wisdom and skill
and honor.
Hallelujah. He's the only one that grave could not hold him captive. Hallelujah. The power of life and death is in his hands. That is our Jesus. Praise God. I love that man. I will serve him. I will serve him. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall dwell, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Because it's a place of refuge. It's a place of refuge. Amen. If you use juju power, all of you men of God, see, there's somebody that came from Bauchi one time that gave his testimony, I forgot his name. We're ministering, the Lord ministered his case to me. And he said that he brought him to the altar. He noticed the first thing I saw, I anointed his forehead. And that is the mark that Mami Wata put there that he has tormenting him. According to him, he went to Kaduna from Bauchi looking for solution. He said he lined up one mighty man of God there and then was coming one by one, was anointing people. So when he got to him, he said, ah, you know, touch her. He said, do you know you have Mami Wata mark on your head? He said, yes, I know. He said, Abeg, go. I know they. Why will he say go? I know they. Because he knows the power of Mami Wata is higher than the power he has. Amen. I didn't shout. I only saw something there. I anointed it with the sign of the cross. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And the thing disappeared. Fear? Disappeared. I love that man of Galilee.
For he has done so very much for me.
Very much for me.
He has forgiven me all my sins and sent the Holy Ghost to me.
Oh, I love the man. I love the man of Galilee.
Hallelujah. The accuser of the brethren. The accuser of the brethren will overcome him by what? The blood of the Lamb. There's power in the blood of Jesus. If you are not under that blood, you are firewood for Satan. Anything, looking for anybody to do anything, he will do it with you. Or keep you under the bondage of a shrine. One man said, show me his picture, how he was prospering before. But he told me how he got the power, the money, the prosperity. Anywhere he's looking for contract, he entered there. They must give him. Any company, he said, I want to do business with this company. You enter there. He said he was traveling to Hong Kong, to Germany, to everywhere. But one day, the Mami Wata that came to him, that he went to go and get power, money, said he should use one room in his house and keep something, a particular spot there. That every money he makes, he should bring 10% of it and drop. Say that her own be that in that room. So he was doing it for years and discovered that the money there in that room, plenty money. He said, this money where they keep every time. Then one day he said he went and took part of it. And went. You know, Satan not they forgive. Satan not get mercy. Anybody serving Satan, I pity you. That's why immediately you say you don't do again, he will look for your life to kill you. He said the woman appeared. He said, you enter to take my money. I gave you all the 90%. And this 10% only, you went to take it. It's all right. She said she tormented him. He kept saying, forgive me now. They take plenty there. He said, what did concern you? I touch your own. And that is how God, because our own God is merciful. Many Christians don't pay their tithes. And if Mami Wata would be angry, how much God? A prophet one time took one man out. He said, the whole of your village, he said, nothing is working there. Everybody, he said, all, no, a zinc house there. He said, everybody. He said, yes. He said, let me tell you the secret. So time, the shrine of your village, he said, it was abandoned and then the roof blew off and rain was beating the shrine. That was when the shrine got angry. He mentioned the name of the village, the name of the shrine, everything. He said, from that time, that the village began to suffer. The spirit began to deal with all of them. All of you are living in a house is covered. When I leave me for a house where rain, they beat me. You know, we learn such things. Praise the Lord. So you see why David said, how can he live in a house made of cedars, and then the house of the Lord is kept in a tent. Anyway, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.